Blog Talk Radio.
Sabbath family, we pray that everybody has had a blessed week and that Yah has richly blessed you in all that you have put your hands to. We pray your health and your strength. We are going to be talking about discipleship for as long as it takes me. Now, I'm not saying we're going to take a whole long time, you know, over tonight, but this may be several lessons because discipleship as I've taught this before, and the Most High has had me to add to it and to add to it and to add to it. And one of the things that, you know, we as his people have to understand is what we're being called into, and we have to consider the cost. What is it going to cost me to do this? And am I willing to pay the price to do this? You know, and so we're going to be looking at those things tonight and over the next few days because we want to understand what we have bought into. Now, as the nation of Israel, when the Most High came down on Mount Sinai and he gave them the Ten Commandments, one of the things that he asked them, will you do these things? And, you know, the people agreed, all that you have said we will do. But then I don't really believe that they considered the cost, what it was going to cost them to do it. And so, you know, it's like with anything that we do today. If you go to buy a house or you go to buy a car, or, you know, somebody asks you to join a club or be in a group, you have to consider what is it going to cost you. How much does it cost to join? How much does it cost for the house? How much is the monthly payment? Can I afford the utilities? So forth and so on. You got to consider the cost of what you're getting into. And then can you afford it or do you want to? And I think that the biggest part here is, do we actually want to? And so I want to make this perfectly clear, and you know, and especially to the younger people, because they have the longest left in this, and I want them to understand that when they come into this, the Most High has requirements, and each of the saints should understand that the Most High has requirements, and that he wants a commitment. And so we're going to be talking about those things over the next few days, as I said, or as, you know, I will consume as much time as the topic needs because this is foundational. It is new covenant. It is what's required to enter in and to stay in. It is part of our walk. And so we have to understand, you know, hey, I can't just get into this thing and then, you know, be kind of willy-nilly. I can't just get into this thing and be kind of halfway. But I have to be fully committed. And so we're going to talk about those things on this evening, tomorrow morning, and probably the next few lessons, because this is a very big topic. And Messiah had a lot to say about it. And as we are, you know, we're coming into the new covenant, and we've looked at marriage, and we've looked at a few things in the new covenant, you know, the elimination of sacrifices and so forth. But now we want to start looking at the relationship, you know, because the Most High selected Israel and said that, you know, you will be my people and I will be your Elohim. I'll be your God. And the people agreed. And it's somehow, when we come into the New Testament, it seems to me, it just could be me, it could just be me, but it seems like some of this has been lost in the New Covenant and the people's understanding of the New Covenant. People want to have their life and live their life, and then the Most High is secondary to that. Their religion is secondary to that. Their relationship with the Most High is secondary, tertiary to that. But that's not what the Most High desires. Okay, it's not what he wants. It's not what he's looking for. And so I want to make sure that we as a people understand what it is, what it means to be his disciple. Discipleship, that process. So let us start the Shabbat off by the blowing of the shofar, as we are commanded. Then we will do our statement of faith, then we will pray in, and then we will jump into this precept. Amen. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads, wherever you may be. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I want to welcome you whether you're in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, whether you're on the North American continent, the South American continent, the African continent, in the European theater, the Far East, the country of Russia or Finland, anywhere in the world where you may be listening to this ministry. We greet you in the only name whereby you must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, in the English. This is a day that Yah Elohim has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness in accordance with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise, for truly he has been good to us and he is worthy. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory, you are our Elohim. And Father, we will worship only you and we adore only you. For you are our comforter and our redeemer, our savior. Hallelujah. You are the only wise and true potentate. And Father, we just give you glory on today because you are worthy. You are the only individual worthy of honor and praise. And we bow down to you, Father, on this evening, and we honor you and your Shabbat, Father, your holy day that you have ordained that your people will keep perpetually throughout all time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Glory to you, Yah, our Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. And let us turn toward the east, the direction that the sun comes up. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Messiah, that they would come and obey your voice and accept your gift of salvation and turn from their wicked ways. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us turn to our Bibles, in our Bibles, to 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8. And I will read this. If you are following along, I'm going to recite this from the personal voice. Your scriptures will read them and they, but I will be talking about us, his people. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. For if we bethink ourselves in the land whither they carried us captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart, and with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, and which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer, and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us away captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, and which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy, chapter 10. Verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah thy Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And let us prepare to go before the Most High in praise and in worship.
Everything I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is the story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. You gave me my eyes to see, I just cannot express the thee. Just how much you mean to me, how close I was lost to the sea. I will never go at it alone, cause you are my force and you are my defender. I have to protect all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
I watered my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed cause of grief for so many years. Every day I throw my prayers up, I never did get an answer. Could it be that you are angry with me? I still praise you according to your righteousness. How excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Y'all reveal yourself to me. Show me the way I'm supposed to be. Yeah, you are my shield, my glory. It's a rub my head, yeah, you sustain me. Yeah, reveal yourself to me. Show me the way I'm supposed to be. Yeah, you are my shield, my glory. It's a rub my head, yeah, you sustain me.
You are my refuge in my times of trouble. You are the King, there's no other beside you. You are my Redeemer from the ones I was sold to. And I am so grateful that we're the apple of your eye. And you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my strength, and you are my deliverer. So how long shall we bear this oppression? I call on your name right now.
Yeah, reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself to me.
Show me the way I'm supposed to
supposed
be.
Yeah,
you are my shield, my glory. It's around my head, yeah, you sustain me. Yeah, reveal yourself
to me. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Please reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Oh, 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 oh. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Yah, reveal yourself.
Into the meat of this. I want to look up the word disciple, because we're talking about discipleship. And I want to look up the word disciple, and then we're going to look up discipleship. The definition for disciple: one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrine or doctrines of another, such as in Christianity, one of the 12 in the inner circle of Messiah's followers, according to the Gospel's account. So, by definition, one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrine of another. But it also means to accept their discipline. So, You're accepting their teachings. You are spreading their teachings and their ways of whatever they're doing, whatever it is that they're teaching. In this case, Messiah is talking about life. And he's talking about living a holy life, a life without sin, a life in accordance with what the Most High has called mankind to. This is his doctrine and how we get back to him to walk according to the scriptures, to walk according to the will of the Most High. So we are going to be reading what does the Most High require, and as Messiah taught it. Because, you know, there's some things that I see today. I can't speak for any other time in history. But I do know, since I've been on this earth and have been, you know, involved in this walk, that for the most part, people play at this. I'm not saying everybody. If I'm not talking about you, don't worry about it. But if I'm talking about you, pay attention. Because people play at this. And they don't even do what Messiah said to do as far as considering the cost. When you came into this walk, did you consider what it was, number one, and what it was going to cost you to be his disciple? What does he require? Or are we just, you know, we're just becoming members and we're doing what, you know, we think we ought to be doing? So let's find out what the word of the Most High says concerning this thing. So a disciple, one who accepts and assists in the spreading of the doctrine or doctrines of another. We're talking about the doctrines of Messiah and the Most High. This is what we are concerned with. And this is who we're talking about being a disciple of. You know, if you had a karate teacher and, you know, they taught a certain style of karate or taekwondo or kung fu, and you know, they have a certain teaching that also goes along with that to put you in the mindset of how you perform these moves and what animal you imitate and yada, yada, yada. And you become their disciple. And your train of thought becomes like theirs. Well, this is what Messiah says concerning if we want to be his disciple. Then we have to get his mindset. Okay. To teach his doctrines. And we got to teach it from his perspective. We got to learn it from his perspective. So discipleship. A disciple has been shown to be someone who follows the teachings, life, and aim of another until the person becomes like the master. So we know that the scriptures tell us that we are to become, quote unquote, Christ-like, Messiah-like, like our master. Like our Father. This is so what we're supposed to be striving for. Discipleship in the Christian sense is the process of making someone become like Christ. The disciple of Christ is to become like Christ in everything. And so we want to look at this, this vein, this topic, in its entirety. We want to look at what Messiah said about it. We want to look at what the apostles taught concerning this, what the Most High says concerning this. Because if we're not willing to be his disciples, it doesn't make sense doing anything else. If you're not willing to, you know, if you're not trying to become like him, then what are you doing? It's not a social club. And so we're going to see there's some hard requirements here that each of us have to accept or say, oh no, you know, that price is just too much. You know, I can't afford that house. And when it comes down to this walk, is we're really saying, no, I can't really afford the kingdom. I'm not willing to do what it takes to enter in. So let's look at what the Most High says, and then what Messiah says, and what the scriptures teach concerning discipleship. Let's go to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. And we're going to get verse 33. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. And we're going to get verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the first thing, you got to want this kingdom, and it's got to be the first thing in your life. Can't be your second priority. It's got to be your first priority. Because the Most High says, you know, for what I'm giving you and what I'm going to do for you, I need to be priority in your life. And I don't need to be second, third, or fourth priority. I need to be first priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, not yours. As I said before, one of the things when we started into our review of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and, you know, the Most High sent me there from Romans chapter 10 and said, hey, the problem with Israel is they went about to establish their own righteousness, but they were ignorant of the righteousness of the Most High. But we're told from the very beginning, seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, what he says is right. And this is what Israel failed to do, and this is what the world is failing to do, seeking the righteousness of the Most High. When he makes a judgment, his judgment is final. And we don't have the authority to change the judgment, or we overstep his righteousness saying we know better. But we're instructed. You know, we're being his disciple, but the student knows more than the master. When we seek our own righteousness, we're saying that we know more than our master. We know more than our father. We know more than our redeemer. We know more than the one who's teaching us. This is the problem. Okay? So as a saint or a potential saint, the first thing in your mind and in your walk, in your life, has to be to seek the kingdom of the Most High first. How do I enter in? What is it going to take for me to be a citizen in that kingdom? What are the laws of the kingdom? Am I even willing to keep them? You know, I don't know if I can keep that law. It ain't a law over here. You got to search this thing out. Seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. Okay. Let's drop down to chapter 13, the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Because the kingdom of Elohim has to come first. And it has to be first in your life. It has to be what you are striving for first. To enter in. To become a citizen. To seek the righteousness and to be righteous like the Most High. To be, you know, to follow his standards. Matthew chapter 13. This is how much you need to value the kingdom. To become a disciple. This is how much you need to value the kingdom. You need to first be seeking it, and then you should think of it from this perspective. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure. We're in verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hides. And for the joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So he's telling you that your position and your value of the kingdom should be that it's worth everything that you have. There's nothing that you have that you wouldn't sell or give for the kingdom. That you wouldn't sell it or give it for the kingdom. This is our mentality that we're supposed to have. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. The kingdom should be so valuable to you that there's nothing that you have that you wouldn't be willing to sell and give up. If you had to sell all to get it, you would sell everything that you have to obtain the kingdom. to possess it. So you got to seek it first. It's got to be so valuable to you that there's nothing that you have in your life that you would place more valuable than the kingdom. You would give it all up to be in the kingdom, to be a disciple of Messiah, to be Christ or Messiah-like. So I want each and every person to consider in your own life, what is it in your life, if anything, that you would not be willing to give up to get into the kingdom? What would you let stop you? What would you put more value on than getting into the kingdom? Let's go to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms 119. The book of Psalms 119, we're going to get verse 2. Because seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and all of his righteousness, and then you should value this kingdom, that there is nothing that you have is more precious than it is. What should be the condition of your heart? What conditions, if your heart, if you get like that, this is going to be the condition of your heart. But this is the condition that your heart has to be in to obtain this. Psalms 119, verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. In order for you to obtain this kingdom, you got to want it with your whole heart. You got to want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, the judgments with your whole heart. You got to want the Most High and Messiah with your whole heart. So you're seeking it with your whole heart. You are desiring it. It's more precious than anything else in your life. And it has your heart. There's nothing that, you know, you would let get in the way of getting in the kingdom, of obtaining the kingdom. Whether it be land or car or person, possession, you wouldn't let anything get in your way of getting in the kingdom. That's how valuable it has to be to you. I would give up everything, anything, to get in. And I want it with everything that I am. Psalms, no, let's go to Jeremiah. Yeah, Psalms, I think I told you to go to Psalms 119 and 2, and I read 34. Let's go to Psalms 119 and 2. We already read Psalms. I read Psalms 119 and 34. I apologize. Psalms 119 and 2. Blessed are they that keep thy testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Psalms 119 and 2. Psalms 119 and 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Again, he's talking about this is the condition, your mindset, your heart has to be set on, that I'm willing to give my all, my whole heart. And so you really have to consider, what wouldn't I give to get into the kingdom? If you're not willing to give your all, you're not willing to give enough. That's why when you go to, you know, my website for this ministry, it tells you that this gospel is free. The gospel is free. And I will never sell a message, ever. Download them for free. Anything that I teach, not into commercializing the gospel. But the truth of the matter is, the gospel is free, but the kingdom will cost you your all. If you're not willing to give all, you don't have what it takes to actually enter in. This is what he's telling us, with your whole heart. This should be the most precious thing in your life, the most valuable thing. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 24. The book of Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. Because this is what the Most High says is going to happen in the new covenant. In the new covenant. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart, not with a piece of you, but with all of you, desiring this thing, this kingdom, more than you desire this life, caring for it more than you care for yourself, understanding the importance of it. And I really don't think a lot of people really understand the importance of it. It doesn't hold the place in their life that it ought to. As I said, secondary, tertiary in their lives. But then we want to say that we belong to him. We want to say that he's our Savior and our Redeemer. He says, but if you want this, you got to want it with your whole heart. You got to want it above everything else. That's the mindset we got to be in. Got to want it with your whole heart, period. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. If you want to be a disciple, you got to seek first the kingdom and Elohim and his righteousness. You got to value this thing as the most valuable thing you could ever obtain. And you got to want it with your whole heart. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 26, because who can you let get in the way of you obtaining this thing? Who in your life can you allow to be more important than Messiah, than your Savior, than your King? Let's see what the Scriptures say. Not what Brother Miles said, but let's see what the Scripture says. If any man come to me, we're in Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father or mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot. Now, this is not Brother Miles saying this. This is Messiah saying this. He cannot be my disciple. If you value anyone, you know, so if you're a woman, just replace wife with husband. If you're a man, leave wife there. But the truth of the matter is, if any man come to Messiah and say they want to belong to him, say that he is their Redeemer, their Savior, and they are trying to be like him, he says, and you hate not your father. I'm not saying that you can't love them, but you can't love them more than Messiah, your mother, your husband or your wife, your children, your brethren, your sisters, yea, even your very own life. If you value yourself more than you value Messiah, you cannot be his disciple. Have you considered the cost? This is foundational. Still laying the foundation of what's required. Because then we're going to get into, you know, discipleship. But this is what's required. You can't, this is supposed to be more valuable to you than anything or anyone. And you can't let anything or anyone get in your way of obtaining the kingdom and your discipleship, of serving Messiah, his teachings, his walk. Can't do it. According to the word. Now, this is not Brother Miles. You're reading this from the Scriptures for yourself. So I don't have to add anything to this. Just expounding upon it. Verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Whatever it's going to cost you, that's your cross. Whatever you got to give up, go through, suffer. You see, a lot of us don't want to suffer. We don't want to have to, definitely don't want to have to pay the same price Messiah paid. He says, hey, if you want to be my disciple, if you're not willing to take up that cross, you cannot be my disciple. Now, this is Messiah saying these are the requirements. So are we coming into this walk saying we're getting saved and the kingdom of heaven is secondary in our lives? Then do we have a problem? According to Messiah, you say you're my disciple. You want to teach my word. You want to be a follower of my word. You want to be in my kingdom. And you don't want it with everything that you are. It's not the most valuable thing in your life. You don't appreciate what I've done for you. You cannot be my disciple. You can't be my follower. Now, people need to understand this when they come into this walk. I believe a lot of times these things are not being explained to them. Oh, they'll get it, you know, in time, by and by. There's a lot of things that people will get too late. Too late. There's a lot of things that are in the scriptures that you will break the covenant if you're not taught them and be unaware that you have broken the covenant, the contract with the Most High. And still believe that you're in covenant relationship. But just like Israel broke the covenant and the Most High severed the relationship, he says, how much more worthy do you think if I did that to them and this covenant was sealed with the blood of animals, how much more worthy do you think you are, or unworthy, if you break this covenant sealed in Messiah's blood, a more precious covenant, a more valuable covenant? So we got to understand that, you know, you don't just enter into this thing and you haven't considered the cost. What is it going to cost me? What do I got to do? Really, what do I have to do to enter into this contract? Because what is being taught is not what the scripture says. And what is being taught is the simplistic, I don't even know if I can say it that way. It is, what is being taught is not enough to get somebody in and keep them in. Because most people don't understand what this takes. Now, Messiah himself, you know, he has said it, but let's finish this. Let's read what Messiah says and understand what he's saying. Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 28, for which of you intend to build a tower? Now, think of what he's saying. You want to build a house. You want to buy some land. You want to do something. It's going to cost you time, money, and energy. That's going to be your cost. Which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Do I have enough money? Do I have enough time? Can I get the materials? Can I hire the help if I need to? What is it going to cost me to do this thing? Now, he's relating this to the kingdom. He's relating this to being his disciple. Have you sat down and read the scriptures and said, this is what's required? Am I willing to pay the price? Do I have what it takes to pay the price? Do I want to pay the price? Because I think this is where a lot of people get to, and they're like, secretly or under, you know, deep down, they'll go through the motions, but they know they're not willing to pay the price. So they're not willing to do what it takes to do. They're not willing to do what it takes. They don't speak that thing. So, you know, I want to feel good about myself. I want to, you know, I want to feel like I'm a good person. I'll keep going to church and I'll keep doing this, but I can't give my all. I didn't, you know, I really didn't know it was going to take all this. Oh, they just mean that figuratively. It's not really for real, for real. Messiah don't really mean that. I can't be his disciple. So he's saying these are the requirements and that you must consider the cost. Verse 29, least happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Oh, you said that you got saved. And look at you back out here at the clubs. Look at you still out here smoking and drinking and doing drugs and chasing people around and still coveting and stealing and doing all the things that you were supposed to give up. Did you really consider what it's going to cost you to walk holy? Did you really consider what it's going to cost you to be perfect? Did you really consider what it's going to take to get into the kingdom? Because, you know, I guess the Most High was just playing. I guess Messiah was just playing. You know, he didn't really mean that. You mean if I love this man more, he won't let me go to church, he won't let me serve the Most High, and I love him, and I'm just going to, you know, I got to do what he says do. Or this woman who just won't get right. I love them, and, you know, I got to maintain this marriage. So if you love them more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. Children acting a fool. Brothers and sisters talking about you bad. Saying, oh, you think you all that in a bag of chips. You holy this and holy that and to keep the peace. You won't speak the gospel to them. You won't do anything because it's easier. And they say, well, come on over for Christmas or Thanksgiving or come on over for this. And yeah, you happily go or maybe you reluctantly go because you want to keep the peace. You want the relationship. But you know what they're going to be doing. They're going to be drinking and getting riotous and doing all kind of stuff. And it's family. It's the way the family is. But you've been called out of that. He says, so if you love them more than you love me, you are not worthy of me. You cannot be my disciple. So have we considered the cost first? What's required? Got to want this thing first. Got to want it with my whole heart. Got to value it more than anything else in my life. And Messiah has to be the most important person in my life, period. Even above me, myself, and I. These are the requirements. Brother Miles didn't write these, and he didn't make them up. I know for a fact, I wasn't told this. I don't know about anybody else. Somebody else could have been told. I was not told. Come on in. You're a sinner. Do you believe that Messiah died for your sins? That's what you just read. Yeah, I believe it. Do you want to be baptized for your sins? Well, yeah. I want to be baptized. Go through the motions. Very next night, back out at the club. Got a little bit of conviction. You know, I won't do whatever. But really, not really. As soon as the temptation comes up, because I hadn't been converted yet, fall right into the same old temptations. The same old stuff. But I was supposed to have been saved. So I'm not telling you something that I heard, because I know I wasn't the only one. And I had a conviction of the Most High. And still yet, nobody said, you need to consider what you're getting into. Nobody said, you, because this is serious. This ain't something you just do. This ain't something that you get pressured into. This ain't something that you get preached, scared. Because no, I don't want to go to the lake. I don't want to go to the lake, but I don't know if I'm going to make all those changes. I don't know if I can. Don't know if I'm willing. I want to try, but never really got explained. This thing is serious. This is really how serious this is, and you don't just jump into it. You don't get scared into it. You need to be taught what it is that you're coming into and what it's going to take to stay in it. Consider the cost. Lest you lay a foundation and then aren't able to finish the building. Yeah, I got baptized. I think I got filled with the Holy Ghost. But, yeah, that's as far as it went. I go to church. There's a lot of people only come to church when? During, quote-unquote, holidays, Easter, Pentecost, in the church, Christmas. But coming, you know, for Bible study and really trying to get the word of the Most High, get taught and to what they're actually jumping into. A lot of churches aren't even teaching what they're jumping into. Even after they get in, they still ain't teaching it. Because the first thing it is, you ain't under the law. So what are you going to be teaching me? Love your brother and love the Most High with all your might. But then to understand that the scripture says to love the Most High, you got to keep his commandments. That's how you show you love him. But the doctrine is saying, oh no, you're not up under his commandments. You're not up under his law. He did away with his law. It don't apply to you. It is so contrary, it ain't even funny. But they're supposed to be disciples. What are you teaching me to be a disciple of? Go around and preach what gospel? A half-baked gospel that says I'm at liberty to sin and all I got to do is say that, all I got to do is ask for forgiveness and I'm forgiven? When the Most High says, if you love me, Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But then when you read the New Testament, there are not a lot of commandments in there that are actually discussed. He's more so talking about how you treat your fellow man. But everything else that the Most High mentioned that he says is a law, oh no, you ain't got to keep that. But when you go through it, you find out, oh yes, you do got to keep it. He says, I'm going to write my laws in your heart. Messiah said, I came because you transgressed the law. So why the heck am I even coming if I'm going to get rid of the law that you transgressed? I'm going to wipe it away anyway. Why don't you say, you know what? Don't worry about it. You ain't got to keep it nohow. Just believe in me and you saved. That's the way a lot of it's being taught. But then when you actually read the word, he's not saying that at all. And then you want to be my disciple? You got to first want this kingdom. You have got to want my righteousness, not your own righteousness. What I say is right, that's what you got to want. You got to want it with your whole heart. It's got to be the most valuable thing to you. And you can't love nothing or no one more than you love me, your Savior. Or else you're not worthy of your salvation. You're not worthy of being my disciple. A whole completely different mentality. Completely different. So when we cherry pick the scriptures that we like, yeah, we can make it say what we want it to say. And then the ones we don't like, we don't understand or not, you know, I don't think he really means that. We leave it out. But trust. You got to seek the kingdom first. You got to want the kingdom. And then you got to want the Most High's righteousness. You got to be right by him. What's the sense of coming into his kingdom and you are on his wrong side? And he says, I'm going to punish all those who are on my wrong side. You don't just come in here and act just any kind of way and think that it's going to go. Because he says it ain't going to go. I'm going to rule you with a rod of iron. Step out of line and see what happens. I ain't going to crack you upside the head. Step out of line and see what happens. I'm going to take out the full extent of what the law requires. And when we went through and reviewed it, we understood, wait a minute, 99.9% of transgression of the law requires your life. 99.9% of it requires your life. Now, I'm going to rule you with a rod of iron. And I'm going to exact what the law requires if you transgress it. You might as well say, Luke chapter 19, I believe verse 34 or 37, he says, and all those who would not have me to rule over them, bring them here and what? Kill them before me. You don't want me to rule over you? You want to do what you want to do? Yeah, bring them over here. Let me show them how that works. But we don't want to hear that. We're not being taught that. We're being taught, you come in and do the best you can. It's not what he's saying in these scriptures at all. He said, you got to consider the cost. Do I want the kingdom or do I want the lake? Because there ain't no in-between. There is no in-between. There ain't no in-between land. You either in the kingdom or you're in the lake. There ain't no in-between. None, nada, zilch, period. You got to consider the cost. Because see, a lot of people think they're going to enter into the kingdom living halfway lives, living three-quarter lives according to the scripture. And the Most High says, I done told you what the requirements are. The requirements are your whole heart. I want all of you, not a piece of you. I want to be the most important thing in your life, not secondary or treasury. He's given us the requirements. And if we, you know, and it's like we think that if we don't measure up, the Most High has got to accept what we give him. Really? He has never shown that in the scriptures, ever. He has never shown that. You don't do what I say do? It has never been acceptable to him. So these are the requirements to be a disciple. Consider the cost. What is it going to take me? What is it that you require, Most High, to be a citizen in your kingdom? Now let me sit down. You said you want me to do this with my whole heart, with everything that's in me. Am I willing to give you everything? Or am I willing to make you the most important individual in my life? Am I willing to make keeping your statutes, your laws, and your commandments that important that if I transgress trembling because I know that I have transgressed against you and I fear you and I value the relationship with you that much that if I know that if I transgress once, I might lose you. Especially if I transgress willfully. You've told me, hey, if you transgress ignorantly, I can forgive that. And the day you find out about that you transgress against me, you repent and turn away from it. And I'm true and just to forgive you. But if you willfully transgress, you better willfully transgress with some fear and trembling. Because the Most High might say, you know what? I ain't having no mercy on you. I'm not having mercy. You didn't value the relationship. And we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that aspect of it. We want to hear that he's just all merciful and all forgiving, and no matter what I do, as long as I say I'm sorry, he'll take me back. That's a lie. That's just a flat-out lie. He is not that way. So if you don't want him with your whole heart, if he's not that valuable to you, he says, then you're not worthy of him. Cannot be his disciple. He said, there's something wrong there. You don't really know or value what you're getting. You don't really understand it. And he says, it ain't my fault either because you should have sat down and figured out just how valuable this is to you. So that you know that if you do something to lose it, what you're losing. Exactly what you're losing. And we're not even taught that. So for many people, this is just, you know, we want to be right. We want to feel like we're good people. And, you know, this is what we're being told we got to do. And we do, as with anything, most of the time we do the bare minimum that we think is going to take to enter in. And we try to maintain the bare minimum. And if we don't even do that. But he says, I don't want the minimum. He told us from the beginning, I don't want the minimum. I want your whole heart. I want all of you. Don't give me your minimum. Your minimum standards, quote unquote, ain't enough. And I know that that's almost kind of the way that is being taught. If you, you know, if you give your minimum, you give minimum job performance. You know, do a minimum job performance for the man and see what happens. Oh, I want a promotion. I don't think so. Show me what you did to deserve a promotion over what this person did. I think that you should give me an award. For what? I show up every day on time. Well, you should do that as a minimum. We're paying you to show up here on time. And to give us the 8, 9, or 10 hours that you give us. And we're paying you to put out X amount of widgets, or whatever that is. That's your minimal standard. Most High says, give me your all. I'm going to put this another way to you. Give me your all. That is your reasonable service. not your minimum. Want to be my disciple? Give me your all. That's your reasonable service. Not your minimum. The Most High ain't never asked for our minimum, ever. You ain't going to find it in the scriptures, nowhere. These are the requirements to be a disciple. Verse 29. Least happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sits not down first and consults whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? He says, what king? Like, he's saying, what fool don't do this? What king don't sit down and say, I got 10,000 soldiers and this one is coming at me with 20,000. Am I able to take him? Or do I need to, you know, send an ambassador? Yo, you know, we give you so much gold and let's be friends. Because I know that if I go to war with you, you're not going to say that straight out, but you know, behind the scenes, it's going to cost me too much, and it could cost me the kingdom, my kingdom. So I'm going to consider it. Or else, while the other is yet great way off, he sends an ambassador, and desires conditions of peace. Before he get up close, before he get too close, let me send an ambassador and say, hey, what do I got to do to have peace with you? Before we get to fighting, because truth is, I don't believe I can meet the cost. I don't have enough soldiers. I don't have enough whatever. Consider the cost to get into this war. So likewise, verse 33, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this is Messiah's words. This is what I know for a fact is not being taught to the laity. Let me preach you happy. Let me preach some blessings to you. And let me get you in this seat. And let me teach you how to pay tithes. And we're going to have a good social hour. And that's what this is going to be about. That's what this is going to be about. So we got to understand that is what we're talking about. Discipleship. Have you considered the cost? Just a second here. Have you considered the cost? What it takes to enter into this kingdom? What it takes to be Messiah's disciple? See, a lot of things people take as suggestions, they aren't suggestions. They are commandments. And you don't get to make up your own mind about them. You don't get to make your own determination on them. You don't get to say, well, I think this is right. If the Most High says this is what you're supposed to do, it is what you do. Period. You don't put your righteousness, what you feel is right, over what he says. Well, you're just a man. That's right. That the Most High has put into a position and said, teach my word. Teach my people. make them to understand and to know. Because he don't want you thinking that you're getting in, you're going to get up there before that throne, you're going to be like, no, your name was crossed out. Huh? But I, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I knew you not. He don't want you to hear that. Because a lot of people say they know him, and he say, I don't know you though. You say you know me. But I'm the one to count, and I'm telling you, I don't know you. You did what you wanted to do. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. We don't want to hear that, and he don't want to have to tell us that. So he says, tell them, seek me with their whole heart. Show them that I'm supposed to be the most valuable thing in their lives. The kingdom is supposed to be the most valuable thing in their life. For as long as there's breath in their body. Want to be my disciple? Want to learn my ways? Want to be like me? Then I have to be the most valuable thing in your life. And what I'm telling you has to be the most important thing in your life. And don't be worried about what men or women going to say about you. Be more concerned about whether you're going to enter in. Be more concerned about whether you're going to make it or not. Be more concerned whether you're going to meet the mark. Just keep moving. Let's go to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, this is what the priesthood and salvation is all about. Fishing for men. Mankind. That's all of our jobs, whether we're doing it directly or whether we're in support roles. Whether we're driving the boat or whether we're throwing the rod into the water. Whether we're baiting the hook. Whether we're fishing with a net and we're pulling out looking for the good fish to throw into the boat, and the bad fish to throw away. Whatever job we got, that's what we're all supposed to be about. Male and female. Fishers of men. Now, if we know anything about fishing in the natural, then we know that every type of fish don't eat everything. So they don't all bite the same bait. That means that we got to have different men or women that specialize in fishing for a particular type of fish, a particular type of person. Typically, that's what he saved you out of. You can identify with it. So if you were a drug addict, you know what a drug addict goes through. The Most High pulled you out of it. He saved you, sends you back to fish for them. If you were an alcoholic, if you were a thief, if you were a prostitute, whatever you were, the Most High saved you out of it. He sends you back to fish for them. Because you know what bait they will bite. And you bring them out. You catch them and bring them out. Just follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's hard to fish for something that you don't know what its habit is. You might catch one every now and again. They just happen to be hungry at that time that you were witnessing to them or testifying. and they bit. But most of the time, it's going to be people that can identify, that you can identify with. Yeah, I've been there, done that. I know how that is. I know what that struggle is. That's what it takes to be a fisherman. You can catch certain types of fish. Unless you are a empath. And some people are. And they can be empathetic toward a lot of different types of people, and they can identify. And they can fish for all these different types of people. Not that they've been through it, but they're able to what? Empathize. And if they sympathize, empathize, put themselves in their shoes and fish for them. But your goal should be always to do what? Bring them into the kingdom. This is what Messiah did. This is what being his disciple is about. Becoming a fisher of men. And when we're struggling, then we have a hard time fishing. Heck, we having a hard time breathing air. Somebody pulled us out and we just gulping for air and we struggling. Can't get converted to this from that water oxygen to the air oxygen. Matthew chapter 7. The book of Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13. 13 and 14. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It's easy to go down the wrong path. It's easy to get caught up in drugs and alcohol and partying too much and chasing skirts or chasing men. It's easy to go down those routes. It's easy to stay in sin. Because most of the time it's our natural nature. We might be good people. We have some quote-unquote good morals, but we've got some things that the Most High says that's sinful. And the wages of that is death. So it's not trying to justify ourselves as, you know, we're, at least we're better than that person. The lake is the lake. The lake is the lake. So if your sin is going to end you up in the lake and their sin is going to end them up in the lake, what is the difference? We just feel better about ourselves because we try to justify ourselves and say, oh, well, at least we're better than them. Like the Pharisee. I'm not like that. At least I'm not like that publican. But the publican is the one that humbled himself. So, wide is the gate. And broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go therein at. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life. And few there be that find it. Do we believe what Messiah is saying? Few people learn that they got to want this thing with their whole heart. Few people learn that they got to love this thing more than they love anything else. Few people put so much value on this that it's the greatest thing in their life. And they won't let husband, child, mother, sister, brother, father, nobody get in the way of it. Few people it is that find that. And I believe because few people, you know, are actually really being told. As you say, oh, you know, this is a requirement, and what Messiah is saying really is true. He's not yanking your leg. And so, because we don't consider the cost. We don't, you know, we think we're magically going to end up in the few. Just be real here. We think we're magically going to end up in the few, but we didn't do what he said to do. We didn't consider the cost. And then when we found out the cost, we might have said, you know, it don't take all that. I ain't got to do all that. I can get by like this. But he's telling you, few it be that find the way that leads unto life. Most find the path that leads to death. Now, again, these are words of Messiah, not words of Brother Miles. I just believe what I read. I believe what I read, and I believe what the Most High tells me to tell you. Can't love your own life more than you love him. Can't think that you're so special and you're such the exception that surely I'm going to make it in, but you're not doing what he says to do. So, you know, what I might be saying might be hard. But the truth of the matter is, this is what it's going to take you. It's what it's going to take me. I just believe it. Matthew's chapter 8. The book of Matthew's chapter 8, verse 22. The book of Matthew's chapter 8, verse 22. And Yeshua said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. Now this brother wanted to follow Messiah. Had a death in the family. Messiah said at this point, you let the dead bury the dead. Who is he talking about? Ain't no dead people getting up out of no grave and burying somebody else that's dead. He's talking about all those people who are dead in trespasses and sin. They are dead. As far as he's concerned, they are dead. Let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me, and I will teach you how to bring people into life, how to give them life. Because right now, they are the walking dead. And when they make those movies, The Walking Dead, you know, that's really, it's very kind of symbolic. It's how the Most High sees most of the world, the walking dead. Think they're alive, but don't realize that they're really dead. And when we are not walking in his ways, when we're not walking in his commandments, when we're not walking in his judgments, when we don't obey his voice, when we want to let our righteousness overrule his, he says, are you dead? Then are you dead? I'm setting before you life. I'm setting before you a blessing, but you're choosing the curse and death. Matthew's chapter 11. The book of Matthew's chapter 11. Let's just walk through these. Verses 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Want to be his disciple? You got to learn of him and his ways. Got to become like him. Lowly in heart. Meek. Humble. He says, because the puffed and proud, the puffed up and proud people, he says, When I invited them to the feast, they wouldn't come. When I invited them to the kingdom, they wouldn't accept. They had other things to do. I got a wedding to go to. I just bought this. I got to go see about it. I just had this to happen. I just had somebody die. Let me go bury him. He says, follow me. Come unto me. Learn of me. You want to be my disciple? You got to learn how I am. You got to emulate me. And you got to love me so much that you want to emulate everything about me. And I'll give you rest. You got to do the work now, but I'll give you rest. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Yeshua unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He already told you, if you didn't want to take up your cross, didn't want to suffer, didn't want to go through this walk, you wasn't worthy of him. He says, you want to be my disciple and come after me, then deny yourself. Deny what you want. You know, I always dreamed of being this. It says, deny yourself. Come and be like me. Make this your first priority. And I know when we're caught up, you know, and we've been taught, and we pursue things our whole life, you know, I wanted to be this, and I went to school to do that, and I worked to achieve this, and yada, yada, yada. But Messiah said, I got to be first. And if you want to be like me and you want to follow me, I got to be the most important thing in your life. Deny yourself. Deny what you think you can get, because the Most already told you. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and Elohim and all his righteousness and all those other things you want, the home, the car, even the riches. He says, I'll give it to you. If you learn to do with it what, if the riches won't become a curse to you, I'll give it to you. I'll take it from the wicked and give it to you, because I know that you will use it for the good of the kingdom. I know that you will use it to do what needs to be done in the kingdom. Now, you want the riches of the world to consume upon yourself? You're serving the wrong one. You say you want me, but you don't. So there's another one that can give you those things. And he has his own set of requirements. You might find yourself having to do some things that you know are distasteful, and you shouldn't want to do them, and you shouldn't do them. But in order to get ahead or to get that promotion or to get that money, that's what you have to do. He says, but if you seek me first, I will give it to you. But these are the requirements. Deny yourself. Want to be my disciple? Matthew chapter 19. The book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 17 through 19. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Elohim. But if thou wilt enter into life, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Oh, no, we ain't under those things no more. What are you talking about? Messiah died and put those ordinances away from us. Not in really understanding that word, but really desiring not to keep the law. So he put all that stuff away from us, which is not what he said. He said, until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle of this law is going to go away. I might modify some things, but this law ain't going away. Keep the commandments. He says unto him, which? Yeshua said, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, we talk about these, and a lot of people will read these off and say, this is all we got to do. But the first four are about the Most High. These are about how you treat your fellow man. It's a given. It shouldn't be needed to be said that you got to keep all the commandments. Surely you are not going to dishonor the Most High. Surely you're not going to bow down to another God, another Elohim. Surely you're not going to create images of other Elohims and bow yourself down to them. Surely you're going to honor the day that he says, this is my day. This is the one I want you to honor and to keep holy. Surely you're not going to just discard those things and say, oh, these are the only ones he said not to do. And everything about him, Messiah didn't mention it. And we got brothers and sisters saying, well, I don't keep Sabbath because it's not mentioned here. I say, oh, and you're not fearing the Most High and you bow down to other gods and you're creating an image to other gods, so it's not written here either, right? Oh, no, no, no. I said, then your argument don't hold water. And you are really talking through the side of your neck. Because you know that's not what it means, but it's what you want to do. You're trying to get out of doing anything that's going to require you to do something. I said, oh, but your logic does not make sense. Most High is not telling you, you ain't got to honor him. You ain't got to keep his Sabbath. That you can bow down to other gods. Messiah was dealing with them for how to treat their fellow man. Because people had gotten to the point where they really didn't value life, just like they are today. Meet somebody on the side of the road, they're subject to rob you and kill you, let alone say hi to you. See you on the side of the road, hurt, and walk right by you. It ain't like they're in a speeding car. Because if you saw somebody on the side of the road, even in a speeding car, you should stop. If you see them on the side of the road and it looks like they're hurt, they're struggling, you can see that it's something wrong. But these people were walking or ride a burro or a horse or a camel. They weren't moving with no great speed and they would still go right by the person. So he wasn't just talking about these six commandments, these five commandments really. Drop down to verse 21. Yeshua said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, this rich young man couldn't hear that. Just like most today, people aren't really hearing the scriptures, but the Most High says, I want you to be community. I want you to all have everything in common. And I want you to live for these possessions. We don't hear him. We don't want to hear him, just like this rich young man didn't. And it was so ingrained in us, just like it was ingrained in that young man's heart. His father probably taught him, you know, we did all these things to obtain these riches, and As long as you got these riches, you are up on your fellow man. You ain't got these things to worry about, and you should never, ever do these things to become poor. And here Messiah is telling him, hey, go sell everything you got and give it to who? The poor. And come follow me. He said, I can't pay that price. At least he was honest. I can't pay that price. He walked away. Have we considered the price? Or are we just going through the motions? Are we saying, hey, what I'm doing is acceptable before the Most High? Are we justifying ourselves? Because we can't justify ourselves. He has to justify us. He's the justifier of us. And he's telling us, you want to be justified by me, this is what you got to do. We think he's just going to say, oh yeah, come on in. By golly, I don't care what you've done. I don't care that you didn't serve me. Get on in here. I forgive you. He's not going to be that way. Scripture's already told us. And, you know, we want to point at everybody else. Well, that ain't me. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. We don't want that to be us, and that's everybody else. But if we ain't coming at him the way he says come at him, trust me, we fit into that group, me included. If we're not being and doing what he said to do, we fall into that group. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Claiming to know him, he said, but I don't know you. I ain't never known you. But Most High, what? You were told, open up the books. You were told on this date and this date and this date, you were told by this person and that person and this person, and you still didn't do it. Get away from me. I don't want to hear it. Like he told Moses, don't ask me that again. Get up on top of that mountain and die. You are not going into the promised land. See, we don't want to hear those things. We just want to hear the good. Yet the Most High said, he forgave this person and he didn't impute their sin against them. And this person repented and he forgave them. But we don't want to hear about the ones that he didn't forgive. We just want to automatically throw ourselves into the group that made it. But I wonder what we're really going to say when he points toward the fire and says, go. And then we're going to realize that we didn't do everything we could have done. We're going to realize that we fell short and he wasn't forgiving of it. And we didn't consider ourselves to be a bad person. We didn't murder nobody and, you know, we wasn't out here just doing anything and everything. And we were raising our children the best we knew how and yada, yada, yada. Most High, I really wasn't that bad. Get away from me. You really weren't that good either. So he's the one saying, hey, these are the requirements. You want to be my disciple? These are the requirements. Follow me? These are the requirements. Keep the commandments. Take up your cross. Be willing to suffer for the kingdom. Be willing to suffer for my name's sake. Be willing to be ridiculed because people just think you're just ridiculous. you playing, you don't love the Most High that much. No, I'm not playing. I love him that much, and I'm very serious with you. I can't see why you don't love him that much. I can't do all that stuff he's saying to do. And you ain't even trying not to. Because we make all kind of excuses. And he says, this thing ain't valuable to you. It ain't the most valuable thing that you have, because you know what? You bent over backwards to do that. Got up early, went to bed late. Skip meals. Did whatever it took to get that, because it was something that you wanted to do. But then when it came to me, you wanted me to accept leftovers. You wanted me to accept your second best, your third best. Or I was your very last thought. Oh, snap. So he's the one that's setting the requirements. He's the one that's saying what's required. And, you know, we have not even put a dent in this thing. We're going to close right here for this evening. I'll pick this back up in the morning. Discipleship. Because we need to be and understand what the Most High requires. Not what some man says. It is written. Everything that I'm saying to you, you are reading for yourself. It is written. That's what Messiah said. It is written. And you are reading it. This is not the opinion of Brother Miles. This is not his, you know, philosophy. This is what thus saith Yah Elohim. Thy Redeemer, thy Savior, and thy King. That's what he says is required. I don't care whoever taught you before what they said. You're reading it straight from the scriptures with no spin on it. With no wiggle room. Because Brother Miles don't do wiggle room. Because if we get wiggle room, we'll wiggle right out of what was said, but, got that goat spirit, but this, but that. No wiggle room, because the Most High don't give us wiggle room. We want to be right by him. We want to walk in his ways. We want to be his disciples. We want to say we belong to him. We want to enter into his kingdom. He's saying this is what's required. Can't love nothing, no one more than you love me. Can't be seeking anything before you seek the kingdom. Make sure you got the kingdom first. See, I know what's in your heart. I know what your desire is. I'll make sure you get it. But seek me first. Love me above everything else. Love me above everyone else. And if it requires you to suffer, if it requires you to go through some things, then we'll be willing to take up your cross and bear your cross. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, as we come before you, Father, seeking your will, seeking what you say is required to be your disciple, to be a follower of you. Father, you have laid it out, and it is written for all who want to consume it and do it. Father, I can't speak for anybody but me. And Father, I want to make it in walking in your ways and doing your will. You are first in all things. I pray that everybody listening to me under the sound of my voice, that they understand that this must be your mentality to even say you belong to him. Got to value the kingdom above all things. Got to seek the kingdom first above all things. Can't let no one or anything be more important than Messiah and the Most High. Nobody. Father, I pray that your people hear your word. I pray that they, if they have never done it, that they sit down and consider the cost. It don't matter if they don't stay here and they go someplace else. The cost don't change. I don't care. It ain't the cost that a man is defining. It's what you are defining. So if they think the word is too expensive over here, they think their salvation is too expensive over here, and they go someplace else, your word doesn't change, whether somebody's teaching it or not. Doesn't change. Let us hear the truth and consider the cost. What wouldn't we do to enter into your kingdom, Father? I pray that you, if there be scales on anyone's eyes, Father, that you allow them to drop from their eyes. If there be plugs in their ears, unstop their ears. If their heart is broken and they just can't feel anything, Father, mend their heart. That they might know and desire to make you first, that you really are the most important thing and the only thing that really matters. Because when this life is over, all these things, we can't take them to the grave with us. And when we get up, if we haven't done what we're supposed to do, we don't get to partake in any of these things in this world. We get to take part in the lake, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let every person consider that cost. Let every person, Father, consider what they would let come first over you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On tomorrow, we will pick this up in the morning. As I said, I didn't even make a dent in what I have to present in this discipleship. This is foundational. It is critical to our walk with Messiah. It's critical to the new covenant. And if we don't know it, then we are just going to go through the motions. And we're going to believe we're entering in. And, you know, I guess it's better to believe you're entering in and then just get told, you know, at the end, nope, didn't make it. I would rather have a fighting chance in the spirit of truth than to be deceived and get to the kingdom and find out that, you know, the door is locked for you. It's locked. You can't go in. That's the door you go through over there. Yeah, the one with the fire coming out of it. That's, get on over there. That's your line. I don't want to be found in that. So we will continue in this because this is what the scripture says. So may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I can't love you. I don't love you as much as I love the Most High. Let me put it that way. But I can't love you like he loves you either. I can only tell you what he says. Show you in the word what he says. Until then, may he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Have a blessed evening. If you have not considered the cost of the kingdom, consider the cost. Consider what he says it's going to take to do this. And then consider what failure means. Make your decision. At least you will have made an informed and intelligent decision. Shalom.
What can I do?